Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Purim, but we don't want to begin the shiur without mentioning the Parsha. So this evening we'll begin learning about the Korban Todah, as the Korban Todah is mentioned in this week's Parsha, Parsha Sav, and then we'll learn about the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, and how it relates to the Korban Todah. So here we go. Parsha Sav, Perek Zayin Yud Beis, speaks about the Korban Todah, and then Netziv picks up on a certain Lashon, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, because if you bring a Korban Todah, great. But Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Al chalos lechem chametz yakriv korbano. So it says the Netziv, it almost sounds like the primary part of the Korban is the chalos lechem chametz. Meaning you're bringing the Korban, says Pasuk Yud Beis, and then it's like, Al chalos lechem chametz yakriv korbano. I mean, in addition to the primary name part of the Korban, again, halachically, it might mean that, you know, about the, you know, the chalas need to be, you know, wherever they need to be. But the Netziv just is a little bit surprised, because you would have expected the primary part of the korban to be the animal, and the secondary part of the korban to be the bread, the 40 loaves of bread. From the fact that the pasuk says you're going to bring these, the animal, al chalos lechem chametz, in addition to the more primary aspect of the korban, it sounds like the animal is secondary to the breads. So that's his diuk. It's just, you know, b'derech parshanut. Adam, you hear his diuk? It's a good diuk, you know? Yeah. All right. So it says the Netziv, Mishum Zem Befarish Oda Mikra, Al Zevach Toras Shlomov, Mishum Hachi Lechem Chametzu Iker, Mishum Shu Zevach Toda Shlomov. Meaning the whole idea of the Korban, says the Netziv, is to what? Thank Hashem. V'ha'inyin D'tachlis Toda Shabal HaNesu K'dei L'sa Perchaste Hashem Shagamal Allah. Meaning when you bring a Korban Toda, the whole idea is to tell everyone about what happened to you. You're going to relate a miracle. Imagine you having survived an illness, Rahman al-Islan, or whatever miracle you want to celebrate that Hashem saved you. And you're going to do what? Bring a korban to what? Publicize the miracle that took place. And then Netziv therefore famously says, that's why we have so many breads to eat in a very, very small time frame, right? Usually you have two nights, right? Here by the Korban Todah, you only have one night. And what's the idea? Says the Netziv, umitam ze riba akos balechem umiyat bezman achilas todah bikol shlamim, haynu kidei sheyiyah marbe reim lisuuda achas biyom akrava. So what's the scene going to be? You bring the Korban Todah, you invite all of your friends via sipor haneis lifnei rov anashim. Meaning, in essence, it's a famous Netziv. And the Netziv is pointing out that, yes, the primary part of the Korban is the publication of the miracle. It's not just about bringing an animal, but no, the whole idea is to use those lachmei todah to publicize the miracle when you invite your friends to eat the breads with you in that small time frame. And when you're sitting around eating the challahs together, you're going to say, oh, by the way, Hashem saved me, etc. It's going to be persumei nisa. And the Netziv and his harchev davar on that spot, so based on which version of the Netziv you have, either it'll be in the middle, if you have the black Netziv, the more updated version, or if you have the old school one, it'll be in a footnote. But he says that's pshat in challah. It's an amazing diuk. He says, what do we say? The pasuk in challah, l'cha ezbach zevach todah, uvishem Hashem ekra, nidarei l'Hashem Hashem, nidarei l'cholam, oh, b'chazim b'shem l'keinu, right? We know this one, right? Ask the Netziv, he says, what does it mean? V'yesh l'havin hamayim sheyashlim nidro negir kol amo. So number one, Kash is, Hashem always prefers things to be private. So why are you saying I'm going to publicize it, you know, in front of everybody? That's question number one. Question number two, he says, what does that mean? You're going to do it, meaning, you're not in among Yerushalayim. You're not in the, you know, the streets of the old city of Yerushalayim, among the, you know, the common man in the, you know, the suburbs of the Yerushalayim. Where are you? You're in the base of Mikdash. So what's the Netziv saying? He says, no, just to skip, he says, no, there are two dinim here. There's Lachai Ezbach Zevach Todah, that's the Korban. Aspect number one. What's aspect number two? Uvashem Hashem Ekra, that's the Kol Todah LaHashem. Ooh, that's where you publicize the miracle. And that's the idea. So here we have an Netziv where he is directly equating the process of bringing a Korban Todah with what we know as Hallel. When someone experiences a miracle from Hashem, it's not enough to just to bring a korban privately with Hashem. Rather, the halacha wants you to publicize, make a whole spectacle, spread the word of Hashem. That's called Pirshumei Nisa. And certainly that relates to the holiday of Purim. Famously, the Gemara Megillah in the third source says, right, why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Umam, Yavdus Lacheirus, Amir and Shira. So when the Pesach story, right, we were slaves and we went free, so we sang Shira, Mimiso Lachayim Lachol Shagain, so famous Kasha. So wait a minute. When it comes to Purim, we were not only slaves, our lives were at stake, and Hashem saved our physical lives. We could have been dead. Ihachi Hallel Ami Nema. So we should recite Hallel on Purim. Why don't we? So who knows the three answers? What are the three answers? So in preparation for Pesach, so we have the three answers, not the four answers of the Manishtana. But number one, we don't say Hallel on a Nes that took place in Chutz La'aretz, at least not until we, once we entered Eretz Yisrael. That's the answer number one, that it was a Nes that took place outside of Eretz Yisrael. But here we go. The second answer, it was going to get the main crux of the shiur. Rav Nachman is underlined. Rav Nachman Amar, Kriyasa Zuhalela. The reading of the Megillah is Hallel. Peter, does that make sense to you? That the Megillah is Hallel? Right? When I say Hallel, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Hashem Zechana Yivarech, Yivarech Hezbeis Yisrael. That's not found in the Megillah. You can't be Yose Hallel if you don't say Hashem Zechana Yivarech.
Before David and Noah,
very good. So says Dr. Karb, there must have been a halachic concept of Hallel before David HaMelech.
They said Shiras Hayam or other Shiras that they had.
And here the Gemara is directly calling Shiras Hayam as a version of Hallel. It's really what the Gemara is doing. So you're both pointing out that it's actually not such a big chiddush to call the Megillah Hallel, because who's to say that the colloquial term Hallel as we know it
means praises to Hashem?
Very nice. Ooh, yeah, good. I like that answer a lot. Meaning Hallel is just one of the many potential forms that Hallel could take on. That's a nice. Right. Prayer has evolved. Yes. Right. Very good. Very good. All right. Now, again, to be fair, though, the Gemara is asking why we don't say the Prokem of Tehillim. But in the Gemara as well, they had it, right?
So that time they did possess the
Gemara. So the Gemara is asking, why don't we say the formal Hallel? And the Gemara's answer is, well, the Megillah serves as a substitute. And Rava answers famously that, wait a minute. What are we celebrating? Purim. What's the end of the story? Famous words, Akati Ad Achashverosh Anan. Even at the end of the Purim story, we were still slaves to Achashverosh. When it came to Pesach, we went free. We were no longer slaves. In the end of the Purim story, we were not actually freed from the ruling of Achashverosh. Whoa. Okay, so that's a little bit of a background. Okay, so far we've learned two things. We learned in the Nesiv's beautiful idea behind the Korban Todah, that is to publicize the miracle, and that's why the Torah emphasizes not the animal, but spreading the miracle over the Lachmei Todah with your friends. And we also learned the Gemara, namely the question of the Gemara is, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Two main answers out of the three: either the Megillah is the substitute of Hallel, or number two, there's really no reason to say Hallel, because as fun as Purim might be, there's a little bit of a downer in the end of the story, and it doesn't warrant the same reaction.
Well, it could be a more powerful thing.
Yeah.
The concept of freedom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, of course. And then there's another question, right? So, why are we saying Hallel by Hanukkah, right?
Very good.
When independence happened, it didn't happen right away. It was over time. It was at least 30 years of various permutations of becoming freer and freer and freer. But they definitely were not free. You know, they were still
so, by Hanukkah, we didn't win the war and become free
right
away. Meaning between the nace of Hanukkah and actual like religious freedom in Yerushalayim, foreign governments. Foreign rule.
Didn't happen right away. So that would be a question. Unless they say, well, ultimately they did get it.
I like it. Okay, good. I like it. So Stewart pointing out that, I mean, it's not so crazy to argue that, you know, Purim doesn't lead one to say Hallel, but you have to just figure out what was different between Purim and Hanukkah. You could just say, you know, Hanukkah maybe had a more direct leading up to a... They got it, right? So even if it was a 20-year lag, and even though you could argue that Purim did lead to the second Beis HaMikdash, but in the beginning, the second Beis HaMikdash, we weren't really politically independent. Right, no, I like it. That's a good point. All right, so now on a halachic level, the Rishonim are going to deal with the following question. What do you do if you can't hear Megillah on Purim? Do you now say Hallel? The Meiri, very good. So what do you think was the Meiri going to do? The Meiri says this lamdas. So he says like this. Exactly what one would expect. He says, well, again, according to Rav Nachman, the whole reason we don't say Hallel on Purim is because the Megillah serves as the Hallel. So therefore, what? The logical conclusion, says the Meiri, V'nirali l'tam zeh she'im haya b'makum she'ein lo Megillah, she'koreh as a Hallel. Wow. So you actually would recite Hallel according to the Meiri, according to Rav Nachman, shari lo nimna akuyasa elim ipnei she'koreh Megillah b'makomo. The only reason we don't recite Hallel is because the Megillah is the Hallel. And then he goes on and says the flip side. But according to Rava, the whole idea that we don't say Hallel on Purim is because, you know, the miracle doesn't really warrant a Hallel. So you would never say Hallel. And then Meiri actually takes a position. He says, Verishon Nira Yoser, meaning the opinion of Rav Nachman seems to be more logical. And therefore, you can argue that you should say it. Wow. So according to Meiri, a chayal in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe someone during COVID last year, or maybe, you know, someone who's in quarantine, etc., if they're really in a bind and there's no access to a Megillah reading, so Hallel would be the way to go. And again, the Meiri is all in. That's what he says. He says all in. Meaning he's saying it with he's saying it pretty confidently there, right? He says, Shakore is a Hallel. That's it. Pretty confident. You should read Hallel. Right? Again, he speaks at the other side that maybe, you know, the whole other opinion of the Gemara would not say this, but he does take a side. He says, he takes a side. And he's not the only one who takes a side. You know who else takes a side? The Rambam. The Rambam writes, Velo tiknu Hallel b'Purim. Do you know why we don't recite Hallel on Purim according to the Rambam? Perek Gimel Halachavav in Hilchos Megillah. Shakuyas HaMegillah hi HaHallel. Okay, so like the Meiri, he likes that opinion, that of Rav Nachman. He just said the Kriyas HaMegillah is Hallel.
So low tiknus, therefore there was no concept of Hallel at all.
Okay, so Adam is very smart. Adam just pointed out that according to the Rambam, you would never say Hallel on Purim because it was not established. Below tiknu Hallel. So therefore, once Chazal made a law, it's called Purim, and included in the halachas of Purim is not saying Hallel. So you would never find the permutation where you would say Hallel according to the Rambam. It's a nice reading of the Rambam.
Yeah,
right.
On top of that,
yeah.
Why is the Rambam
okay, but you also, you're kind of disagreeing with you're not intentionally. All right, yeah, what do you want to say, Stuart? Okay.
That
was a curveball. Yeah, I didn't see you going that way. Yeah, totally. That's a very big support. Wow.
That could say, well, because there's a Megillah, the Chachamim say you don't read Hallel. So once the Chachamim say you don't read Hallel, you don't read Hallel.
Right, that's exactly Stuart's point. That despite the fact that the Rambam says the reason we don't say Hallel is because the Megillah serves as Hallel, and therefore one would have concluded that if you don't have Megillah, you should recite Hallel. No, nonetheless, says the Rambam, blanket statement, Velo tiknu Halba Purim, meaning despite what the Meiri would say, I'm, you know, exactly supporting you.
But why is he also, like, I'm no expert on the Rambam, but here the Rambam is taking sides in a reason.
Right.
That
very good.
Very good. There are other times, I know of it, so I'm just saying that in and of itself might
be a fantastic thing, right? So Stuart's pointing out that the Rambam didn't need to write that much, meaning the halacha, bottom line is, lo tiknu hala b'purim. That's it. You could end the sentence there, right? The fact that he elaborates, shekriyas ha-megillah hi-halel, So it could be read, you know, Dafka, you know, no exceptions to the rule. Right? Or, you know, again, I could see it going, yeah, all right. But let's see how the poskim view. Very well. Mamish, it's exactly what I, you are supporting Dr. Karp to the nth degree. Yeah,
maybe. But the Meiri said, obviously, was around at the time of the Rambam also. The Meiri is 300 years later.
Yeah.
But obviously that Shita was around.
Or he was trying to...
Right, the Rambam was trying to dismiss right.
That,
and the Meiri brought it back. Okay. So who, the Chida comes along. So later in history, Birke Yosef, the Chida, same person. So he quotes the Meiri. And then I underlined it. So Dr. Karp's Dilgah in the Rambam and Stewart's Dilgah in the Rambam is exactly the Chida. Meaning, we don't have to be so creative of, you know, different scenarios. So if you don't have the Megillah, then you should recite Hallel. No, meaning, the halacha on the books is we don't say Hallel. Bottom line. Okay. The only thing is, you know why we don't say Hallel? The time of the Ravahu, the Omer Akad Avdech HaShashverosh. I mean, the whole reason we don't say Hallel is because we actually don't paskin like Rav Nachman's. We paskin that the reason we don't recite Hallel on Purim is because we ended the story as slaves to HaShashverosh. Oh, meaning he's...
say that because if you go the other way, the Lotiknu Hallel, because the Kriyas Megillah can go either way.
Yeah, good.
For sure, Akad Avdech HaShashverosh.
Right.
Right.
He says, very good. Latam Zela Olam and Omro, and he says we're passing like Rava, because Rava was later than Rav Nachman. So if you have a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rava, we go like Rava on this one. Okay. And by the way, there's only one way we read the Gemara, but it is another girsa in the Gemara, that of the Rif and the Rush and the Ran. They actually have not that Rava is one opinion and Rav Nachman is another opinion. It's like kind of cutesy. It's like, no, Rava asks a question on Rav Nachman. It's a maskif la Rava. Namely, Rava actually is specifically coming to dismiss Rav Nachman's opinion. The reason is not Kriyasa Suheilula. Rather, the reason is very, very different. So again, very, very similar to what Dr. Karp, Stewart were alluding to. Yeah, Amy.
But according to the Fida, the most of Mashiach, if somebody does not have a Megillah, they might still say Hallel. According to the Rambam, you'll never say Hallel on Purim.
Right, if you have such a sheet. Yeah, I hear that. Right, very good. Very good. I like that also. All right, so it's not, you have to wait till Mashiach, maybe. You know why? We have the Sha'arei Tshuva today. The Sha'arei Tshuva, so again, he brings down the sugya, he quotes the Birkei Yosef, and then I underline in the middle of the paragraph, it says, Ayin Sham. All right, so that's the end of the Birkei Yosef. Yeah, I just, you know, I just wanted to show you, he quotes the sugya. This is Ach, the Mem Chet Beis, the Machzik Bracha, right? So I'm not sure, unfortunately, that is. He's quoting other Shitos in the name of the Bahag and the Rambam that say, no, there's another side to the story. And even though you might have thought that the Birkei Yosef had a knockout punch, namely there would be no scenario where you ever recite Hallel on Purim, wait a minute, what about the Meiri? Why are we ignoring the Meiri? What did the Meiri say? The Meiri said that, you know what? We only don't recite Hallel on Purim because the Megillah serves as a substitute. And that would suggest, like the Meiri, that if you do not have a Megillah, you should recite Hallel. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Sha'arei Tshuva brings the Meiri into the Halacha. Ulefiza, I underline it. Chazar hadin demi she'en lo Megillah yomer Hallel. Halacha lamaisa. He's quoting, again, the Machzik Bracha, that yes, someone should recite Hallel if they do not have a Megillah. I would imagine during COVID, the Jews who did this, that they probably had absolutely no way to access a Megillah reading during COVID, and they probably said Hallel. But then, exactly, Adam and Stewart's Diak, he himself, the Sha'arei Tshuva, takes a step back and says, Ach lefi ani es daiti, de'ikar kavana shashas, al ikar takana, meaning, No. The Gemara was talking about what was the original establishment of the law. But once the law has been established that you don't say a Hallel anymore, that means you never say a Hallel. He has this line, Memele she'ein makom likos a Hallel. Exactly like what everyone here was saying. You would never say Hallel because Chazal did not institute Hallel. And you can't be so creative and innovative in your thought of Halach. Meaning, the Halach on the books is we don't say Hallel. And therefore, we never say Hallel. So the Sha'arei Tshuva himself says it's inappropriate to say Hallel. Therefore, bottom line halacha, he says, if you have no Megillah to read, you should read Hallel below Bracha. Wow. Because, all right, you want to read Tehillim. There's no issue with saying Tehillim. And similar to what many Jews do, like you say, on Yom HaAtzmaut, they want to, you know, celebrate the significance of the day. They don't necessarily want to say a Bracha potentially in vain. So therefore, there is a middle ground to recite Hallel, but not a Bracha. And halacha lemaisa, I would imagine people did this last year, or maybe even the year before, in the height of COVID-19. And all in all, what we have found this evening so far is that somehow Kriyas HaMegillah is a substitute for Hallel, and even halacha lemaisa. And again, the Rambam's psak was that they're very much in unison. And again, what the bottom line halacha is in a very unique scenario where someone cannot get to a Megillah reading. So again, we can pass like the Shari Tshuva that a bracha should not be recited on Hallel. But at a minimum, we need to figure out why is it that there is such a connection between Mikra Megillah and Hallel. At first glance, they're very, very different. Right? Hallel is an expression of Hakaras HaTov and Shevach to Hashem. Mikra Megillah is a sefer in Tanakh. Right? So, you know, you can argue, wait a minute. Well, Hallel is also kind of like a sefer in Tanakh. Hallel is Tehillim. Mikra Megillah is what? Ksuvim. So yeah, so they're both similar as far as not really, right? Meaning David HaMelech's Tehillim is a lot more expressive, a lot more in lines with thanking God for miracles that we can relate to as a form of prayer, as a form of dialogue with God. Mikra Megillah is a story. It's a story. It's again a lot of miracles in the story, but in no way is it a person expressing thank you, Hashem, for saving me on Purim. It is the story, right? But what would be more appropriate would be a perek of Tehillim with the Purim story in mind. You know, meaning to say Hallel on Purim, and say Hodu Hashem Ki Tevin Lasto, and let's say one of the snippets, like we say on the Hoshanas, right? You know, Kishem Shah, whatever, Hoshata, Mordechai B'mei, whatever, Shushan, you know, Esther, you know, Kain Hoshana, right? You know, to thank Hashem or to praise Hashem, and daven in light of the miracle. That is the tefillah that we are in touch with. To read the Megillah's Esther as if it's a form of prayer, that's a little bit unique. It's not normally done. Imagine I said, okay, instead of saying Hallel, read Parshas Vayeshev. The story with Yosef and the brothers is so moving. And Yosef's Hakaras HaTov, that he was saved. Okay, it's very nice, but they're two different things. Very good. Right. So very good. So says Stuart, if there was ever a time to maybe, you know, not say Hallel, you could say maybe because we have, you know, maybe the Pesach Haggadah, the Leining, Az Yashir, and despite all of these things, we still say Hallel. Right. So we have to figure this out. How we're going to just all of a sudden turn Mikra Megillah into Hallel. Yeah. Oh, as a Baal Kore. Of course, you know, the whole idea. Yeah.
That the entire Hallel aspect of the Megillah is to see it through the mundane,
that's it,
boring story.
Ah, very good. Very sharp, Amy. So Amy's pointing out, Purim by nature needs to be backhanded. If we were to say Hallel on Purim, that would be so non-Purimdic. Right? You have to say Hallel in a hidden way. On Purim, very sharp. Because the whole concept, the whole nature of the miracle was hidden. So, Mida Kenegad Mida, so to speak, commensurate with the nature of the miracle is the nature of the Hallel. Wow, very nice, Rabbi Weintraub. Very, very nice. That's not where I was heading. I was going to say something a little bit more boring than that. But what I'm going to do now is the major thesis of the Shir. The whole holiday of Purim is framed by Mikra Megillah. The whole holiday, in the sense that on another holiday, you know, you miss laning on Shavuos, okay, but you could still do the mitzvahs of Yom, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? In contrast, we're going to learn now that without Mikra Megillah, all the other mitzvahs are lacking. Meaning there's no Purim without Mikra Megillah, so to speak. Now, again, I don't mean that halachically, but you'll see what I mean in a moment. So let's learn how Mikra Megillah is Hallel. Number one, famously, the Mishnah Berurah says, Kishayomer b'layla hahu nadadash nazamelech. So Yagbi HaKol Kisha Matchal Anes. So intrinsically, you know, woven into the Minhagei HaKriya is Pursumei Nisa. Right? When you get up to that famous Pasuk, right? where all of a sudden Achashverosh couldn't sleep. That's the turning point of the Megillah. And you're laying it differently. You're laying it differently. Because the Baal Kore is telling a story. He's not reading a, it's not Talmud Torah. It's more than Talmud Torah. It's not a book of Tanakh. It's a Tanakh shir. It's an emotional pulling on Hakar Shatov. We're trying to highlight Pursu Meneis. So, and additionally, what does the Ramah famously rule? That when we get up to the four psukim of Geula, we say them out loud, right? Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yatzel, Yid Maisa, Or V'Simcha. And we know famously, we hit Haman, right? You know, so it's like a musical play. It's an interactive show where the Kehila is responding to the Nisim. So all of a sudden in the Halacha, we're seeing this is not like a regular laning, right? The way you're supposed to lane is a little bit more engaging, a little bit more interactive, and the crowd partakes. The crowd partakes to specifically highlight the miracles. Okay. So now we have to figure something out. We have a little bit of a quandary. Very, very challenging halacha. Says the Shulchan Aruch, HaKorei as a Megillah Mevarech Lefen HaGimel Barachos. So far, so good. You say three barachos. Amikra Megillah, Shasanisim, Shachianu. Svardi Psak, like the Shulchan Aruch would be, the next day, Vyom. How many barachos do you say during the daytime if you're Svardi? Adam has a two up. But he only put up two fingers. He was afraid to say it. Is that Shtika Kohen? Two. Very good. He's confident. So namely, even though you say three brachas hanat, you don't repeat all three during the day. Which one gets shafted? Shachiyano gets shafted. Doesn't make the cut. The Ramah disagrees. V'yeshom de'afayom mevarach shachiyano. You make a shachiyano during the daytime also. And that's our practice, right? So we say shachiyano both in the night and the day. And the Magen Avraham is passing like the Mishnah Berurah famously say, says that when you say the shachiyano, what should you have in mind? All the other mitzvahs of the day. All the other mitzvahs. When you say Shachiyanu on the Megillah, have in mind the Mishloach Manos, the Seud, the Matanos, the Avyonim. And says the Magen Avraham, Venirali. He says, Venirali, do you have in Zeb, Birchas Shachiyanu, the Yom? Kizman and Bayom. Oh, Birchas Shachiyanu, Gamin, on Mishloach Manos, Usudas Purim. Okay, he doesn't say Matanos, the Avyonim. That's a good point. Okay. Okay. Okay, I hear what you're saying. And then the other point he makes is, let's say you don't have a Megillah. Should you make a Shachiyanu or not? Logically, what would you say? Oh, right. So says Peter, well, of course you should make a Shachiyanu. At a minimum, you say Shachiyanu on the other mitzvos. And even more than that, on another Yontif, you say Kiddush with a Shachiyanu. Meaning when a holiday comes, we say Shachiyanu. So, if, right, there's no Kiddush on Hanukkah, but we still say Shechiyanu. Okay, but when the holiday comes, you say Shechiyanu. I mean, the point is that Purim, like every other holiday in the books, should warrant a Shechiyanu. Inherently, the day itself warrants a Shechiyanu, no? Says the Magen Avraham, a wild cheetah. If you don't have a Megillah, no Shechiyanu. Why? What are you making Shechiyanu on? Mishloach Manos, Suda? That's too similar to other days of the year. We eat. We give gifts. It's not unique enough. Not unique enough. So says the Magen Avraham, without Mikra Megillah, there's no Shachiyanu. And who disagrees? Rav Yaakov Emden is more k'tiyah. He responds to the Magen Avraham, he quotes him, he says, "V'lo yadati ma b'kach." He says, excuse me, with all due respect to the holy Magen Avraham. He says, since when do you need an excuse to recite a Shachiyanu on a holiday? He says, it's a holiday that only comes up once a year. And he says, not only should you make a Shachiyanu if you don't have the Megillah, he says you should actually make it at your Seuda when you drink a cup of wine as if it's Kiddush. He says, connect it to your kos. Meaning make it as close to Kiddush as possible. But I want to really harp on this machlokas. Because in the Magen Avraham, I'm going to put a little bit of a poetic license over here, is arguing that without Mikra Megillah, Shechiyanu falls apart. And Rav Yaakov Emden says, why? Why? It's still Purim without Mikra Megillah. Oh, so very good. The Bir Halacha responds like you, Abi. So the, and by the way, the Bir Kayozah, before I get to, did I not quote the Bir Halacha over here? I know why I did that, because the Bir Halacha is quoting the Bir Kayozah. The Bir Kayozah says, whoa, Rav Yaakov Emden, very, very smart. You want to pick on the Magen Avraham. So if you don't have a Megillah, what should you do? Yivarech Shachianu, fine. Ach lo Yivarech Berchas Shasa Nisim? So he says, wait a minute. What if you don't have a Megillah? What bracha should you make according to Rav Yaakov Emden? If you don't have a Megillah, what should you do? What about Shasa Nisim? What if it's Hanukkah and you don't have a menorah? What bracha would you recite? If you see the menorah, you see Shasa Nisim. And you make a Shachianu, no matter what.
But only if you see it.
I think Shachianu, if you see the menorah.
If you see another menorah, you can make Shachianu.
Okay. So he quotes, but he has a very sharp kashi. He says, why would you not make a Shasa Nisim also? He says, you know what? Therefore, the Berak Yosef, he catches the Rav Yaakov Emden. He says, I don't understand. Why are we harping on the only Shechianu? Meaning, if you don't have a Megillah, so also say Shasa Nisim. So you know what happens? If you don't have a Megillah, it's a Shaila if you say Shechianu. And if you don't say a Megillah, says the Birkei Yosef, you should make a Shechianu like Rav Yaakov Emden, but you shouldn't make a Shasa Nisim. And the question is, why not? So you know what we're going to say? That you don't make a Shechianu Shasa Nisim because without Mikra Megillah, the other mitzvos are not put into the proper context. What do I mean by that? We recite the Megillah both at night and during the day, but Tosfos and Dalai Ramav says that the major reading, the primary reading of the Megillah is the daytime. Why? You know why? He says and underlined, "De'ikar persume nisa havi bekridi imama." Why? Why? You know why? He says, "Well, that's when the nays happened. That's true." And then he had the underlined, "De'ikar havi be imama kevan shehis kiro kasev tchila began ikar hasu'udu be imama hu." What? The primary persume nisa is during the day because the meal is during the day. That makes no sense in my mind. Meaning, Mikra Megillah is read during the day. You know why? Because the Seuda is also during the day. What about Tefillin? What about Mincha? How many other mitzvahs do we do during the day? What? Yeah. Why? But which one's the primary? Very good. Very, that's not a mission. Very good. Very good. Excellent. So I wanted to point out from this Tosfos that the fact that we have the Seuda during the day and is viewed as related to the Mikra Megillah points out as follows. Mikra Megillah is like when you get the playbill or, you know, when you go to a play, or they give you like a little bit of a pamphlet or whatever. And it tells you maybe a little bit of the background. What's the play about? Who's the author or whatever? Who is the cast? What's the background, the historical context? That's Mikra Megillah. And almost like only once you have the Megillah read, do you even know what to do at your Seuda. Only once you have the Megillah do you say Shechianu, which also highlights the Matanos of Yoni maybe, or at least the Mishloach Manos. Meaning, without the Megillah, everything seems so random. And the Megillah is the glue that puts everything together. And in fact, we know you're supposed to get drunk at the Purim Seuda. Obviously, practically, you can ask, you know, whoever what to do practically. But on the books, what does it mean? It says in Mishabru. What does it mean? Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai? Arur Haman is one stage of the Megillah. When Haman fell. Baruch Mordechai is a second stage of the story when Mordechai was promoted. A sober individual can recognize those are two very different things. Haman's fall and his death sentence was wonderful. But that also was very different than Mordechai being promoted. They're very, very different. And in fact, when Haman died, there was still a death sentence still hanging over the Jews. But when you're drunk, you blur those two things. So what is the Mishnah Berurah saying? That the whole concept of the celebration of the Seuda has the Purim story in mind. Which means when you're having your Purim Seuda, if you don't have the miracles of the Megillah on the tip of your tongue, or at the forefront of your mind, you're missing out on the Seuda and the Mitzvahs Hayom. So in summary, what I wanted to point out this evening is that Mikra Megillah is like the neshama of the day. And sometimes that's intuitive. By nature, we'd probably say Divrei Torah at the meal anyway from the Megillah. But I think it's important to harp on some of these halachas and illustrate through halachic sources that Mikra Megillah is the neshama of Purim. And without Mikra Megillah, our Shechiyanu falls apart, our Asanisim falls apart. And only once you have Mikra Megillah, the brachos of Shechiyanu and Asanisim give us a framework for the entire day. And Bezos Hashem, like the Korban Toda, we should appreciate the Purim experience and expression of Hallel and Hodah, because again, that's why Mikra Megillah can be an example of Hallel, because the idea is that it gives you the framework of the day, that every single mitzvah of the day is an expression of a Karas HaTov in response to Mikra Megillah. So Bezos Hashem, we shall get there this coming Purim.